My grandfather was an immigrant from Norway, homesteaded the land that is still in family ownership. I guess because of his Norwegian background, he got as close to the river as he could. I've noticed several times that the better land a little further away from the river was homesteaded by Germans, but the Norwegians wanted to be close to the river. So the family's experience with the river goes back a long, long time, and it involves both floods and drought. Last year the river was totally dry. Is that environmentally attractive? Right now I guess it's in flood stage. Is that good? But yes, I remember the drought of the 30s very vividly. My father died on Memorial Day in 1933. It was still green. We'd come through the low prices. I mean, we'd been in the low prices of the, as a Democrat, I'll say the Hoover administration. But we were still growing crops. But the heat hit, the heat and the drought hit on the day my father died, and we lived through 3 years, 33, 34, and 36, where we harvested no crops, and where we had to, Roosevelt was condemned for it because we had to slaughter cattle and kill little pigs. If you were my age, you would remember that. How indignant some people were that we couldn't feed them. Yes, it made an indelible impression on me, and so do the floods. They've both affected my thinking, I'm sure. During the time that I was in the legislature, Harry Truman appointed me to the Missouri Basin Survey Commission, a commission with one representative from each of the 10 basin states, charged with the responsibility of reviewing the program for the development of the Missouri River. That was a very interesting and broadening assignment. I became involved with rural electrification, and I became a director of Northern Electric, and very shortly after that, one of the original incorporators of East River Electric Power Cooperative. 1954, 1956, I was the Democratic candidate for the United States Senate in South Dakota. The 1956 contest was a very close one. I still think that that I was the legitimate winner, although I didn't challenge it. The election was taken away from me when absentee ballots had been counted out in the Black Hills after election.
This was your race against Carl Munt?
No, Francis Case.
Francis Case.
I went on from that to other activities, as what you say, were in public life. I continued to be the farm operator, manager, lived on the farm, but I also became the first president and the first executive director of the Midwest Electric Consumers Association. The served in a similar capacity with the South Dakota Association of Cooperatives, helped organize my local telephone cooperative, and became the president of it and the first president of the South Dakota Rural Telephone Association. And then I became the first president of the Western States Water and Power Consumers Conference, and participated in various ways in other political activity at the time. I was appointed Assistant Secretary for Water and Power Development by President Kennedy. Served through his administration and the Johnson administration.
That was from, what was the time frame on that?
January 20th, 1961 to January 20th, 1969. I was not one of those political appointees that tried to linger on. Johnson left, I left.
Would you describe your position?
Back in those days, there were 6 presidential appointees in the Department of Interior were confirmed by the Senate. Secretary, undersecretary, and 4 program assistant secretaries. As a program assistant secretary with the title Water and Power Development, I provided supervisory control over the Bureau of Reclamation, the Bonneville Power Administration, Southwest Power Administration, the Southeast Power Administration, the Office of Saline Water, and later when it was created, the Alaska Power Administration. In addition to that, my office was responsible for coordinating the views of the Department of Interior agencies on water projects developed by other agencies, the Corps of Army Engineers projects, and the projects of the Soil Conservation Service. I don't think that South Dakota has suffered because the main stem dams were built in South Dakota. I think that they're a benefit to South Dakota. I haven't had the privilege myself, but I understand that there are a lot of South Dakota people not only enjoying recreation and fish and wildlife benefit on those reservoirs, but a lot of visitors bringing economic benefits to the state who are enjoying the reservoirs. I think South Dakota, and it always was the holding position, that ought to be more aggressive in protecting the water level in those reservoirs against the downstream navigation obligations. The Act of 1944 has got the Umani-Milliken Amendment in it that Ralph Herseth, as governor of South Dakota, had interpreted. Makes it very clear, however, that beneficial consumptive uses upstream have precedence over this free-flowing navigation channel. And I think South Dakota should be more aggressive in enforcing it. I heard just the other day that water levels are going to be very low in Oahe this summer. Boat ramps are going to be out of the water, et cetera, et cetera. I think South Dakota could be more aggressive about that. Certainly the fact that these reservoirs provided the power that electrified rural South Dakota is a great benefit to the state, and I'm not going to downplay it. And the state didn't put all of its water resource development in that one Oahe project basket. We had several water resource development projects in South Dakota going forward under my supervision while I was assistant secretary. Some of them for municipal water supply, some smaller irrigation projects. It didn't get completed, but we had started a program for, or a possible project for getting water into the lakes that we mentioned earlier in eastern South Dakota and saving them. We were looking, developing a program for water supply for Mitchell. All of these things are potential benefits to the state. I had known before I came to Washington, and of course I knew, learned a lot more about it, as my responsibility is involved not just travel in the West and the other reclamation areas, but dealing with the problems and the opportunities. The thing that was certain to benefit South Dakota, and was very vivid in my mind, and we went through it again just last year, if there were 195,000 of irrigated land on the west side of the Jim River and Brown and Spink counties, there would be hay there and there'd be feed there, so that you wouldn't have to slaughter little pigs. You wouldn't have to kill baby calves because you couldn't feed them. And city people wouldn't see their prices, meat and milk, escalate because it was in short supply. Sure, that affected me.
Were there any other reasons why the Owyhee Project was so attractive? For example, one reason that's given is the obligation of the federal government because of the Pick-Sloan plan. What was your thinking on the federal government's obligation to South Dakota?
Well, are you talking in light of what's happened in South Dakota in the last year or what I was thinking in the 60s?
Well, the Pick-Sloan plan, of course,
yes, no
the Flood Control Act of 1944.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't, it was just a broad outline. It wasn't a very complete plan. But certainly there were clear understandings that in return for providing flood protection for the downstream states, and of course when I was on the Missouri Basin Survey Commission, Kansas City and St. Louis had, and St. Joe had just been devastated by floods, that there was going to be water resource development in the upstream states, including South Dakota. I thought that was important. On that point, and it relates to my activities in lots of different ways, the Colorado River Storage Project was authorized in 1956. Unlike the act authorizing the Missouri Basin Project, the Colorado River Storage Project allocated dollars to the various states after very careful negotiations, I'm sure, between the officials of the states and their competent representatives in the Congress. The Missouri Basin Project allocated resource development in a very broad and general way. So that has always caused some problems. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that I think South Dakota has been hurt by the construction of the dams on the main stem river. I don't think that's true or supportable. But I think that it's appropriate, would have been appropriate then and is appropriate now, that water be put to be use, some of it for the benefit of South Dakota people. And the Owyhee Project wasn't just irrigation, it was water for 17 municipals. If it had been built, the water of the Missouri would have been that much closer. I understand Sioux Falls had severe water rationing problems last summer. Lakes in eastern South Dakota have water supply problems. The water would have been that much closer so that you could have developed a program for replenishing the water supply on the lakes around Webster and Madison and get that water into the Sioux River for the benefit of Sioux Falls. South Dakota isn't going to grow. It isn't going to have the type of economic development that you see at Ballston until South Dakota has got a water supply that has got to be potable water. People aren't going to go out and fill up a state with people where the water has got 12, 13, 1400 dissolved salts per, just aren't going to do it. They've got to have better water than that.
Had you ever imagined the project would get so controversial?
No, absolutely not. I was totally convinced that it was in the best interest of everybody in South Dakota, and I, there was no, during those 8 years I was with the government, there was no sign of anything other than total support from South Dakota. That was, oh, this is kind of a peculiar remark, and I've never made it, but to find hardworking, committed Democrats in total agreement with Henry Schmidt, Bud Meyer, and the editor Alton Pierce.
Bob Hipple.
Bob Hipple on one issue. Just in itself, indication that this was something everybody was for.
Mm-hmm. All three of those men, you're saying, are Republicans or were Republicans?
Yes. Well, I guess I might not have ever been totally sure about Bud Meyer, but I've always assumed he was.
Mm-hmm.
There was no question about Henry Schmidt or Bob Hipple. Certainly you can tell by now that I feel very badly about the fact, and I think it's a disaster for the state that the Owyhee Project failed. But there's another disaster too, and that's what has happened to relationships in my home community. It takes half the fun out of going home, the fact that people didn't in Brown County still don't like each other because of this. Don't associate with each other. I think that's a very unfortunate circumstance.